What happened to the introduction, brother? Well, it's my pleasure to have a chance to speak to you this morning, and Kevin asked me if I, he asked for a volunteer, and I volunteered, so he said, okay. And I thought he wasn't going to be here, and it turns out he is going to be here, but he had so much on his plate this week that he really wanted somebody else to do sermon preparation and bring the message. But he says the title is Audacious Love. He said, I don't know whether you can handle that or not. If you want to change the title, go ahead. But I said, no, that title's fine. But, you know, if you want to know something, just ask Google, right? So, audaciousness. What is audaciousness? Audacious love. What does that look like? Well, I like this capsule of it right here. We're going to talk more about it. But it says, this is from a dictionary, I guess. It's just on the internet. You ask Google, about the word, then things pop up, and I said, this is a good one. The essence of audacity and audacious is having the bravery to do something that could offend others. Well, that's not hard for some of us, right? Because of this, the word has both a positive, bravery and bold, connotation, and a negative, rude, impudent, disrespectful connotation. So when you think about somebody who's audacious, it could have a positive or negative imprint on your mind. Well, we want to talk about a positive audacity in loving God and loving others. And what we're going to share this morning is emphasized simply right there. Love God and love others. What does that look like? Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, isn't it? Love God and love others. In Matthew 22, 37 to 40, a scripture that's been repeated over and over in this way, the Shema. By the way, Shema means to listen with attention and obedience. Listen and do it. And of course, that's repeated over and over in some places. But what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean anything unless it incites you to action. Love God. What is the great commandment, they said there in Matthew 22, verse 37? What is the greatest commandment? He said to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that sounds good. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, with your whole being, your inside and outside. Love God in your thinking and your ponderings and your ways, the way you live your life. Love God. But you know, the proof of that is in the outward working of loving others. Love others as you love self. How do you love yourself? Well, you take care of number one first, right? I mean, that's priority. Am I comfortable? Am I getting my needs met? I'm going to church today. What am I going to get out of the message? It's number one, right? What are we going to receive? What are we going to get? What's in it for us? That's just human nature. And it's not wrong to have expectation to receive a blessing, to receive something. I can guarantee you, if you go to church and not stay home, you'll get a blessing. There's going to be something that will be there for you. And the people that aren't here today, for whatever reason, they're going to miss something that was good for them. That's just the way it is. That's the way it falls out. That doesn't mean there's not legitimate reasons for not being here. I'm just saying, there's something God has for you. Every time you show up and the Word of God is shared and testimonies are shared, there's something you're going to receive. So listen and pay attention and do something about it. Listen with all your heart, soul, and might. You go to Deuteronomy and you read the Shema there, and with all your might. Might means vehemence, vehemently, tremendously, exceedingly. Could that be audaciously, boldly? And your neighbor as yourself. Then maybe the question comes up like did to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? You know, it just means near one. Who is near you? Who's your neighbor? The near one. Who is nearest to you? Could be family, can be friends, person next door, can be people at work, can be wherever you are at any given moment, your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, so that you would give the same care and concern to those around you as you would for your own self. And just like, I thought that was fabulous there, Christiane shared, you know, aren't these the orange ones, aren't they good? Aren't the green ones, you know, whatever. And, well, I like those. I'm going to put those back there for myself. Right? Or will you share those? I know she probably shared them later on, but anyway, there was a point to be made. We luck out for number one. In Deuteronomy, when the Shema is given there, down a few verses, it also says, don't forget that it's God who enables and blesses you by his Spirit. Verse 12, there, Deuteronomy 6. Don't forget who it is. It enumerates the various blessings, who's given you lands and all the good things that he promised in the land. Who is it that gives that to you? Don't forget it. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Don't forget who blesses you. Don't forget who's given you life. Don't forget who gives you salvation, who by grace forgives your sins and saves your soul and blesses you. Who is it that enables you with the strength and abilities to work and earn a living and provide for your families and all the things that we enjoy? It's God. Don't forget that. Don't start following after other gods. In their cases, there were lots of temptations. Then there's Joshua and Caleb. In Numbers chapter 14, when the spies gave an evil report, they were to go in. 10 men went in to the land to see what it was like, this land that God was giving them. They were told to go in and spy out the land and bring back a report. What did you find? And of course, 8 out of 10 gave a negative report. Oh, it's a wonderful land. Look at the big cluster of grapes that they had to carry back. 2 men, you know, with a pole, and they carried the big cluster of grapes there on their shoulders. Look at the harvest. It's wonderful. But, oh, there's giants in the land. Man, it's not going to be an easy place. It would be a tough place. We shouldn't go in there because it's dangerous. How do you feel when you go downtown Kelowna and walk down certain streets? Do you feel like that God could bless you in your efforts to speak to people and talk to people about God? Or even just to pass through the area? Or do you feel fearful? Feel afraid? Fear is a natural response. That's our human response. But if God is directing you on a certain path, what do you have to fear? If God is with you, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You can be bold. You can have audacious love. You can speak to anyone. You can do anything that God would have you to do because God is with you. And that's what it says there in Numbers chapter 14, when the evil report is given. But Joshua and Caleb says, we can do this thing. God is with us. We can do it. And at that point in time, that probably seemed a bit audacious. But they had a love for God and a desire to follow God and obey God that caused them to say, we can do it. We can do it. They couldn't do it in their own strength. It looked impossible. But God had promised to give them the land. Didn't matter who was occupying it. He promised, and he would be with them. So they had that positive attitude. We think of Joshua and Caleb. We think about, you know, give me this mountain. Maybe you've read that portion in Scripture. But the name it and claim it idea has a certain merit to a point. And that is, if God has promised you, then you can claim his promise that he will be with you and that can be done. As we're looking at the mission of our church, you know, in different ways, in different aspects of our purpose and why we're here as a church, and Lord knows there's over 80 churches in this town, at least that was a few years ago, maybe quite a few more than that now. But one church, look at the size of our church, you know, compared to the bigger churches down the street. What can we do? And over the years, I pastored small churches, or we started from scratch, and we had small churches. But one thing I always wanted to remind people was, it doesn't matter your size, doesn't matter if you're a small church over here in a town somewhere, you have the same commission, you have the same empowerment. God is with you in the same way he is with the big church over in the big city. It's just the scale is different. So never think of yourselves as a small church. What can we do? Only God knows the limitations of what we can do because he wants us to do it. One church could have a vision for missions, that you're sending out missionaries directly from your church. One church can have a Bible Institute where you're training workers to go out into the mission field, which reminds me, as you some places they have a sign over the door. I've seen it. We even had it in our own church in certain places. As you walk through these doors, you're entering the mission field. In fact, as you're sitting here in the congregation, you're in the mission field. You don't know the needs and status of people around you. You never know. You could be just a word of encouragement or some kindness, getting acquainted with somebody, what that's going to minister and do in people's hearts, just right here. And as you go out there, outside the walls, the opportunities and things that God has for us and our congregation, and it should be in harmony with the rest of the family of God, because if we're all the family of God, all believers, then we should all have the kind of same goals of wanting to minister out in the land. God is giving us opportunities, and he said he will be with us. And Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. God is with us. God is with us. So if we have a desire to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves, the potential is unlimited. It's only limited by God's limits. And he's all-powerful, all-knowledgeable. He's everywhere present. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, actually, those three or four verses in there, it's interesting when you read those. He says, actually starting in verse 5, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I dare say we can claim those verses for ourselves today as individuals, as believers, as a church, as a congregation. We can claim those verses. Be strong and of good courage. Have audacious love. Which can be bold acts of love that God leads us in doing in this place and outside this place and towards whoever God leads us. You think about people like William Carey. I was thinking about his statement this morning. Attempt, let's see, Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And he went to India. And it was a tough place to start a ministry. And he persisted. And he believed God had a ministry there. And you know, as a matter of fact, the history of Canadian Baptists goes way back. And Canadian Baptists have had a strong ministry in India since those times. And so, you know, it can be done. And he did a lot of different things. He had different innovations that he used in his ministry in India. And then I think of Adoniram Judson. And these are guys of the past. I mean, these are historical missionaries. And he went to Burma. And it was years before he had his first convert. In fact, he lost his first family just through sheer sickness and all those things. What a discouraging place that would have been for him. And yet he persisted. And God had a ministry. God led him there. And the ministry began to blossom. And they had their first convert. And then from then on, things began to grow slowly. But it happened. Now, those are the guys we read about in the books, you know, the history of missions. What about today? We've got modern-day missionaries that are on the field, and God is doing great things through those missionaries because they know God is with them, and they're expecting great things from God, and they're attempting great things for God. And, you know, maybe the methods change, but the word, the message is still the same. There is one God. There is one Savior. There is heaven and hell. And the way you get there is through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, based on what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. He paid your debt. He paid for your sins. You can be forgiven. He's a God of love. He's a God who loves you. He loved you so much he was audacious enough to send his only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary to die for your sins. Talk about audacious love. God exemplified that. Jesus was bold in his determination to go to the cross, and it wasn't plan two, you know, it wasn't plan B, because plan A was failing. It was God's plan, and he fulfilled it, and he was determined to do it. That's what we need to do as a church. We need to catch the vision of what God wants us to do. We need to be audacious in our worship / presence. These terminologies that are still yet kind of finding their formal expression in our vision as a church. But it's presence. It's God's presence in our midst. God's presence in our life. And based on his presence, we worship him. And we expect from God that he wants to do great things. And so we need to make that a reality in our life. And he says, I will be with you. Just like in Joshua, I will be with you. You're not going to go do this alone. I will be with you. And his spirit that dwells within us goes everywhere we do. I will be with you. He's with us corporately. He's with us individually. And in belonging / community, we need to have the sense of belonging. And God has given us the institution of local churches. There's the body of Christ, the family of God that we all belong to by virtue of salvation and being added to that. And that's that nebulous thing that, you know, you can't necessarily see. I mean, we've got family in heaven, we've got family on earth, and we rub shoulders with family. And by the way, you should have love for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what, quote, denomination. That if they have Christ in their midst, in their hearts, if they're born-again believers, they're family. We should treat them as such. And together, as congregations of believers, we have a mandate to fulfill, and that is to share the gospel. But you got to feel you belong, first of all, I think. And people come, they want to know God is a God of love. They want to feel loved. They're going to feel loved by God by the fact you love them. That's how they're going to experience that love initially. And then they come to know him in a real personal way and find out that he loves them and wants to dwell with them, in them, and wants their lives to do whatever he has for them to do. There's that sense of belonging, family, feeling like you're part of what where God wants you to be. And this church isn't for everybody. And the next church isn't for everybody. But God leads according to his will in our lives. And so if he's placed you here, then this is where God wants you. And you can feel that you belong. You should feel that you belong. And you know, the person that wants to have friends is to show himself friendly. You've heard that expression. And so that's part of this audacious love. Make friends. Don't just walk in, walk out. But make it a point to talk to somebody, to get to know, you know, each individual. And that's why sometimes the small groups and things are one of those ways where we get to know people even closer. Because, you know, you come and you share here, but then we go out to our places from here. But we need to feel we belong all the time. That's my church. Those are my friends. We share together. We minister together. So belonging. And then sharing. Audacious sharing or mission. Sharing within the walls of the church. Sharing outside the walls of the church. Sharing wherever your foot shall tread upon. Every place your foot treads upon. He says, be strong and courageous. Three times he says that. Be strong and courageous. When something's mentioned three times or more, God is emphasizing something. He's trying to get our attention. It takes courage. And God will empower us as we take that step. You remember what happened when they, just in that same portion of scripture there in Joshua, when they were going to go to Jericho, what did they have to do before they went into the land? They had to cross the Jordan. And what did they have to do first? They had to get their feet wet. They had to step into the water, and then the waters parted for them to cross over. And that's what we have to do. We got to get our feet wet. Just as soon as we step out by faith to do any given thing that God is leading us to do, he will enable us to do that. Be strong and very courageous, he says, three times. And so as you go down throughout the community, and you have your fears, and you see the giants in the land, you see the walled cities. I liken that to Kelowna, because Kelowna's got a lot of walled cities. it might be scary. But what God wants us to do, how to reach people for Christ. Maybe it's the downtown core, or some other area of the city. What does God want us to do? We need to get our feet wet and step out by faith, and then he will activate that power on our behalf. I was also thinking, and in closing, about Rahab. And I don't want to get on to another area because I don't know what's included in that portion of scripture and the rest of the series. But I was thinking of Rahab and audacious love. And I was thinking, now Rahab, the harlot, is included in the line of Jesus. And when you trace the genealogy, she's there. That's sort of interesting. And so harlot and harlotry and whoredom, we don't think too much of because those terms are not used anymore. But try the terminology sex worker. That rings a bell? We hear about sex workers all the time. Rahab was a sex worker for whatever reason, whether she was forced into that or whatever the thing is, that's what she was called. And yet, she'd heard about God, and she'd heard about what was happening before they ever got to Jericho. Somehow she heard about those things, and she feared God. And she had enough love for this God of the Israelites that she was willing to audaciously protect the spies, the two spies that came into Jericho, to hide them on a rooftop. And when they came looking, you know, who are the two guys that came into your house? Oh, there's nobody here. However you want to justify that, don't worry about it. The fact is, she was bold enough and loved God enough to protect God's representatives who were there to see what was the score with the city and bring back a report, like a military report. But she asked one thing of them. Would God spare my family, me and my family? And because she was audacious enough to protect God's servants, they said, yes, God will protect you. When we come to the city, have that scarlet cord hanging out the window, and you and your family will be protected. Interesting, the scarlet cord, the red cord, the blood of Jesus, that red line that goes all the way through the scriptures, and you'll be protected. So whatever all was going on in her heart and mind, we can only speculate, but apparently she loved God enough to take the chance to protect these men from danger, and they went back safely to give their report. So bringing it up to date, who knows who's out on the street here that's going to come to know Jesus and wind up becoming a bold servant of God? Many have. So don't discount anyone. The gospel is for everyone. And service to God is for everyone. And I like the appeal that was given this morning for workers here. God can use you if you're willing. He's just looking for willing workers. And it brought to mind, just to give you a little plug for workers, my first pastor, when he got saved on a bar stool because he was afraid to go between the bar and the church. He'd been hearing the gospel that maybe something would happen and he'd die and go to hell between the two places. And he got saved on a bar stool. And he showed up, and when the invitation was given, he went forward and he said, "I've accepted Jesus as my Savior." And of course, then he followed that with baptism. And then they asked him, "Would you be willing to teach a Sunday school class?" He said, "Well, I don't know anything about the Bible. I'm just brand new at this thing. I wouldn't be qualified." "Well, we're not asking if you're qualified. We're just asking, are you willing? We'll teach you." So I said, "Okay." That's the most willing time, you know, when somebody's a brand new Christian. "Oh, okay, whatever I want." And the longer we're saved, the harder we get with our shell, you know, and say, "Well, I can't do that. I can't do that." But we can do anything if God is with us, just like Joshua and Caleb. So you don't have to be some super educated, qualified person, you know, to be involved with working with the children in Sunday school and teaching. In fact, you learn more when you start to prepare for a lesson than you would have otherwise. You know, you start getting concerned about, well, what about these things? What do the kids need to learn? And you have things to share. Anyway, you don't have to be super experienced, just volunteer. And the proper people will do the rest to help you do that ministry. Audacious love. That would be a bit audacious, wouldn't it? I hope you have a lineup out there of people who are audaciously wanting to help in the Sunday school. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and goodness. We thank you for these scriptures. Help us, Father, to manifest our love for you, heart, soul, and mind, by our actions and loving others. And Father, being willing to be used of God in this place, in this community, as you want to reach people for Christ. Father, young or old, doesn't matter. We just pray, Father, that you will just guide us and lead us and help us to have audacious love, to step out boldly and courageously to serve you. And we'll just give you praise for the results. In Jesus' name, amen.